This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah.
Inna alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تعالى في تنزيل العزيز بعد أن نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد في مسند إمام أحمد رحمه الله وسنة ابن ماجه وغيرهما من حديث أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال عظني وأوجز وفي رواية علمني وأوجز فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا قمت في صلاتك فصلي صلاة مودع ولا تكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا وأجمع اليأس مما في يد الناس وهو حديث حسن بما له من شواهد وقد جمع هذا الحديث العظيم ثلاثة وصايا عظيمة جمعت الخير كله من من فهمها وعمل بها حاز الخير كله في الدنيا والآخرة. الوصية الأولى وصية بالصلاة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والعناية بها وحسن أدائها. والوصية الثانية وصية بحفظ اللسان وصنايته. والثالثة دعوة إلى القناعة وتعلق القلب بالله وحده سبحانه وتعالى. I want to share a hadith with you all today that is from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and Sunan of Ibn Majah, the authentic narration in which the Prophet ﷺ was approached by a person asking him for some advice. This man comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, O Messenger of Allah, remind me but be short. Remind me but be short. In another narration, teach me, but don't make it too long. The Prophet ﷺ proceeds to give him three pieces of advice, which I think all of us, first and foremost myself, need a reminder of. And this is the way the Prophet ﷺ would communicate with people. He would often give advice in threes. This is a very frequent way of, if you read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where people come asking him something, he would often say, one, two, three. It would be three things that he would share with people. In this case also, we have the Prophet ﷺ giving three pieces of advice to this man. Advice number one is إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ. Advice number one, when you are standing up to pray, فَصَلِّي صَلَاتَ مُوَدَّعِنَ. Pray like the prayer of the person who is bidding farewell. Like the one who's leaving. That's number one. Number two, he said, don't say something. لَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَدِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Don't say something today that you have to apologize for tomorrow. Number three, وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ أو بِمَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ in another riwayah. Don't expect what's in the hands of the people. These are very beautiful, very comprehensive instructions from our Prophet ﷺ. And to be honest, they deserve far more than just a small khutbah. They deserve thorough reading. They deserve thought and active processing of how to implement them in our lives. It's a very comprehensive advice from our Messenger of Allah ﷺ. A few things that I would like to comment. Firstly is before even speaking about what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was such a approachable person. Where a person would come up, a random person, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the Sahabi who's narrating the hadith, doesn't even mention the name of this person. It's just another person who is a Muslim. He comes up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he's saying, teach me but don't be too long. Remind me, keep it short. This is how he's speaking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam does not take that as something that's offensive. He does not take that as a slight. He understands that this is a man who wants something and he's able to provide for him kindly. This is how he was alayhi salatu wasalam. You find him very often, people would say things to him that a lot of us would just find completely unacceptable. You would have people coming and actually sometimes even grabbing his collar, demanding things of him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was gentle enough and kind enough to not take that as a personal offense. He was able to understand that this is a person who perhaps does not understand the adab of Islam, the manners, the etiquettes. That patience, that forbearance was on display every single day from the Prophet ﷺ. This is just a small glimpse of it. That here is a man coming and demanding things of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, very gently, very nicely, without getting offended, reminds him. This for us is a lesson because as people, we get on each other's nerves. We have friction in our families, in our communities, with our friends, with our colleagues. We can't let that interfere, that emotional, that we can't let those emotions compromise what is it that we have to offer. We can't let those emotions overwhelm the rationality that we have. We see that in the Prophet ﷺ. He wouldn't get emotional. The only time he would get angry, ﷺ, and the Sahaba would describe him as وَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُهُ, his face was turning red, was when someone would say something completely unacceptable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or someone would say something completely unacceptable about the sanctity of the faith, the maharim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on a personal level, the Prophet ﷺ, people would insult him. People would say things to him that are not appropriate. He is the messenger of Allah. He is the leader of the community. He is the head of state. All of the above. But he wouldn't take that personally. He wouldn't let that interfere. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, would continue to be kind and gentle. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Like Allah says, we have sent you only as a mercy for all of mankind. For us, this is a lesson to be more gentle, to be more kind in our day-to-day lives, to not be rough, to not let people's inappropriateness affect the way we communicate with them in a gentle way. This is a reminder for me first and foremost, but from the life of the Prophet, it's a reminder for us all. The three pieces of advice that he shares with this person is firstly about the prayer, secondly about the tongue, and thirdly is about the heart. And these all three are related. When a person's prayer is solid, it's in place, it's established, the heart and the tongue are both, they both fall in line. The heart is able to find content and peace. The tongue is able to then be controlled. Our emotions, we don't say things that we regret. All of this starts firstly at salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Allah says in Surah An-Kabut that prayer, salah, when established, it stops a person from evil and shamelessness. Al-fahsha is a better translation for it, is shamelessness. And munkar is more generic. Anything that's evil, anything that is just not light, abhorrent, all of that comes under munkar. Fahsha is something that you're embarrassed about. You do something in your private life, if someone found out, you would be embarrassed. That's fahsha, according to Ibn Kathir and some others, like Ar-Raghib al-Asfahani. Something that's done sirran, but if people find out about it, they would be shocked, and you would be embarrassed that they found out. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. When salah, when it's established, when it's prayed on time, as it's supposed to be prayed, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established, that prayer stops us from that shamelessness. That prayer stops us from doing things that are evil. Ibn Kathir, for example, mentions that it doesn't mean that a person loses the temptations because they're praying properly, but the temptations are softened. The desire to do that evil thing, the desire to look at something that's inappropriate, is not as strong anymore. That's a outcome of when salah is established correctly. For us as believers, we believe that our prayer is the most important thing in our lives. It's the first thing we'll be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ, if that prayer is solid, it's good, then everything that follows from it will be good as well. This is perhaps one of the reasons why he shared the first piece of advice, صلي صلاة مودعين, pray like the person who's bidding farewell. Linguistically, there's two possibilities to this. Possibility number one is pray like the person who is departing. As if you are departing the world or you're departing a place. I was recently at Umrah, Allah had blessed me to perform Umrah, and I ended up praying in the Hajar Ismail, the area of the Kaaba that originally was part of the Kaaba, but today is not. It's a semicircle just attached to the Kaaba. I had ended up being in that place. Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to pray two rak'ahs. And the Prophet has encouraged us to actually pray there and make dua there, because dua there is accepted. To give more urgency, to incentivize more. I remember I was praying in that spot, and in my mind I knew I'm not coming back here to pray again. Not in this trip, and probably not for a while. And even if I come for Umrah again, praying in that spot is a very difficult task. So those two rak'ahs that I prayed there, the quality of that was way higher than my normal salah. Because I was praying as if I was bidding that place farewell. Salli salata muwatta. This is that's the goal. That's very difficult to do. That's not easy, by the way. To pray every single prayer like that. That is actually a very difficult thing. But the Prophet ﷺ is setting the bar for us. He set the bar high. Now for us, the job is not to lower it, it's to train ourselves to jump higher. To train ourselves to be able to rise up to that challenge. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ Salah is going to be tough for everyone. The exception is the one who is truly humble, who has truly found humility. They're able to suppress their ego and suppress themselves or lower themselves in front of their Lord. Not just physically in the sajda, but metaphorically. That is a person who is able to rise to that challenge of salah. Salli salatan wadda'in. That's a very difficult challenge. But this is a reminder for me. It's a reminder for us all. That's what we should try to pray like. As if this is it. The other linguistic possibility for this, salli salatan wadda'in, is the salah of the person who has bid farewell to things, has said goodbye to distractions. So pray like the one who has put aside distractions. And this is, subhanAllah, distractions for us are galore. We have our phones, we have our work, we have what people are saying. Oftentimes, unfortunately, a person might be praying and they start thinking of their to-do list and they're reminded of what they were supposed to do beforehand. Salah, unfortunately, becomes a time to get, you know, reminded of things that we had forgotten outside of Salah. That's not the point of Salah, though. The point of Salah is you put away all your distractions. And then we say, Allahu Akbar. We mean it. Allah is greater. Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater than whatever is occupying me right now. Whatever is making me busy right now. Whatever is concerning me right now, Allah is bigger than that. I'll put it to the side and focus on my salah. Allahu Akbar. That is the other meaning, and both of these meanings are complementary, that we pray as if this is it. And we try our best to rise up to that standard. We remind ourselves that this salah is a salah that once you pray, it's gone. that Jum'ah, this is it. This is Jum'ah on December 13th. This is the only Jum'ah you bring. And then the Asr is the only Asr you bring. So that Salah is gone. We pray with a little more urgency. So there is more humility. There is more focus. There is more connection. We put away all the distractions so that the heart can connect to Allah. And then the objective of the prayer, which is إِنَّ صَلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَلَى الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, can be achieved. That the salah becomes the thing that stops us from committing evil, that stops us from saying things that we regret, from doing things that we regret. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِوَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا وَنَوْلَ غَفُورُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, a man came to him asking him for advice. He said to the Prophet of Allah, O Prophet, advise me, teach me, to make it short. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, out of his kindness and gentleness, advised him and gave him three instructions. Number one, pray like the person who is bidding farewell. صلي صلاة مودعين. Number one. That means to pray with urgency, to put away distractions. Salah is a time to connect to Allah. Salah is not the time to go through the motions of the prayer. Number two, he said to this man, ولا تكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا. Don't say something today that you have to apologize for tomorrow. And number three, he said to him, وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. Don't expect what's in the hands of the people. The idea of the tongue, لَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ, the second instruction, don't say something today that you have to apologize for tomorrow. This doesn't mean that apologizing is bad. Apologizing, in fact, is the right thing to do when something wrong has been done. In fact, it is a, if you consider tawbah, repentance, one of the conditions or one of the prerequisites of tawbah is you have to, if you've hurt somebody, you have to make them whole again. If you've hurt someone's feelings, you have to apologize. If you've taken something that belongs to somebody, you can't just say, astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me, and you keep it in your pocket. Tawbah is you give that back and you apologize and then you ask Allah for forgiveness. That's tawbah. So apologizing and saying sorry, that is part and parcel of making things right. Okay? This is something that I think our good common sense will tell us, but also our Sharia instructs us. So the idea here isn't not to apologize. The idea here is don't put yourself in the position where you are constantly apologizing. Don't say things out of emotion that you will regret later. How many times is it that a person sends a text message or a WhatsApp message or an email when they're angry and riled up and they end up regretting it? They end up regretting it, right? Like the poet said, وَإِمَّا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِ مَرَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. Misquoting him a little bit perhaps. I have never regretted my silence, but I have always regretted, or many times regretted when I've spoken. The idea being, speaking out of emotion, speaking when our emotion is taking over our rational thought process, often leads to the situation where we have to apologize. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in that position. If unfortunately we are in that position, the right thing to do, the noble thing to do, is to apologize, is to make things right, is to make the person whole again. But if we find ourselves frequently in that position, is a problem. The problem is the tongue is uncontrollable. Our emotions are unchecked. That has to be addressed. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. He says in another narration very beautifully, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The one who believes in Allah and the last day truly should say what's good or remain silent. just say what's good and remain silent. I was just thinking about this. I was, subhanAllah, on social media, we have the opportunity to say inappropriate things or try to be mean to people that we don't know, because it's not a personal thing. It's just a random person on the internet. I was just watching something and I wanted to say something that was insulting, subhanAllah. But as I was typing my comment, I said, you know what, this is completely inappropriate. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ يَصْمُتْ. And this comment will not change anything. There's no constructive feedback here. There's no actual thing hoping that this person will change. All it's meant to do is insult this person. All it's meant to do is to make myself feel better by insulting this person. That is something that shouldn't be said, shouldn't be typed. You shouldn't press send on that. That's what the Prophet is saying. لَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Don't say something that you will regret. Don't say something if it's no good in it. And this, subhanAllah, is such a critical aspect of our faith, brothers and sisters. It cannot be emphasized enough. If I can ask actually people to move in, that would be really good. Jazakumullah khairan, because there's people at the door. Fill in the gaps in front of you, please. The advice of the Prophet ﷺ, the instruction of the Prophet to guard our tongue is something that we find in many, many narrations, many, many incidents. It is something that all of us need a reminder of, to be more careful of what we say, and more importantly, how we say it. Number three is the Prophet ﷺ saying this to this person, وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. Don't expect what's in the hands of the people. Don't expect what's in the hands of the people. What he's referring to here, alayhi salatu wasalam, is two things. One, don't expect what people have. Don't expect people to help you. Expect Allah to help you. This is one interpretation, by the way, according to Al-Qurtubi and others, of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. This is an interpretation, or this is one of the advice the Prophet gave to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari when he said, لَا تَسَلْ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا. Don't ask anything of anyone. This is something he told Ibn Abbas, that when you are asking for help, فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, then ask Allah, don't ask people. وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. The idea here isn't that you are going to live life by yourself and everything will just be completely independent. That's not the point. That's completely unreasonable. The Prophet ﷺ had his helpers, the Ansar, literally, the helpers. But the expectation is, where does the help come from? The expectation is not the people. It's not the people that are supposed to help us. Our expectation is Allah will help us. Our trust is in Allah. Our hope is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He will find the people to support us, to open doors for us, to console us, to help us along the way. But our trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't find a better example of this than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam speaking to, during the Muslim of Hajj, during the time of Hajj, at times 10, 11 tribes. According to the seerah, it is between 10 to 12 tribes that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam met and spoke with to convince them of Islam, the da'wah of Islam, and then to convince them that they should accept the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims coming from Makkah to their city. Everybody rejected the Prophet ﷺ until the Ansar came. The point is, the Prophet ﷺ never gave up, even though he faced rejection after rejection. Didn't expect a person, some person who he had business ties with, some person who was extended family, some person who had good relations or a tribe that he had good relations with, didn't expect anybody to do many favors. He was expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was trusting Allah to do it for him. And that trust manifested in him continuing. Group one, group two, group three, until he found the Ansar. That's the idea. وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. Don't expect people what's in their hands. Don't expect it. Expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a very liberating feeling, because then it is our dua and our connection with Allah and our reliance on Allah, and that's it. Then Allah opens doors and Allah closes doors. Allah sends people to help and Allah takes away people who are detrimental. It is His qadr and we live by His qadr. It's a very beautiful, very empowering instruction. The Prophet ﷺ, another meaning of this is what the ayah says in Surah Nisa, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Don't desire what Allah has given to other people. وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. Don't desire what's in the hands of the people. Don't look at somebody who has more and becoming, as a consequence, ungrateful to your blessings. As a consequence, becoming ungrateful to your blessings and privileges by looking at what other people have. The Prophet ﷺ has told us to look at those who are less privileged than us, who have less than us, not those who have more than us. And that desire or that process makes us ungrateful for all the blessings that Allah has given us. وَأَجْمِعِ الْيَأْسَ بِمَا فِي يَدِ النَّاسِ. Very comprehensive instruction in which the Prophet is instructing us, don't expect people, or don't expect from people, expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't desire what people have. Don't desire what people have. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah for His grace. Ask Allah for His bounties. And be happy and be grateful for what you have. That's the lifestyle. That's the heart, the state of the heart. That state of the heart is reflected in the tongue. Not saying things and regret later. Not being emotional, being rational. And all of that stems from صلي صلاة المعدين, praying like the prayer of the one who is bidding farewell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement them in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to establish the prayer, to watch our tongues, and to have contentment in our hearts. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhal ladhina aminu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawm al-deen. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa mitna ala millatihi wahshurna fi zumratihi wasqina min hawdihi ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar wa qimus salam.